The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, we thank you for the sleep that has refreshed us and for the beginning of a new day. This day is full of promise and opportunity. Let us waste not a minute. This day is your gift to us. May we do all that you would have us do. And we just thank you, Lord, for bringing us together in this wonderful place. And we just ask that the flow of the day be all that you have it be, and that each one of us can pull out just what you have designed for us to receive. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I purposely asked Judy to end this morning's singing with some good music, some active music. And the reason I did that was to help explain that, as Dana was talking last night about the ebb and flow of a day at CFO, we're in that period now where we've had a good pile of activity, we've had some good spiritual singing, and now it's time to change our emphasis. Now, normally, and you'll notice for the rest of the time that we're here, when the speaker is coming up, Judy will very mindfully bring the music to a slower rhythm. But I asked her not to because I wanted to have that little piece of quietness there. So as we move ourselves into the hearing stage of our day. Now, the second reason I did that was I wanted to make you a little nervous. Because it's hard up here when you first show up, you can't help but be nervous. And it's nice if you're in a room with a bunch of nervous people with you. You know, it's something to get up and do this. And the difference in a CFO talk, which is such a blessing, is the fact that it's a talk that it isn't something that you can write down and write out and write notes and just flip your pages and read it, because this kind of talk is supposed to come from your heart. Just as Dana told us last night, is that this is a talk of experiences of what the Lord has done in our lives, and all of us are affected by this. So what I'm going to talk about in the next couple of days, and it's great, we've got three different times that I'll get up here, and I won't hold quite so much silence, but we'll have time to talk about a flow of things that I want to share with you in my life, and that is that I am as God created me. And when we leave, you're going to be saying the same thing. I am as God created me. And what I'm going to share with you is just some experiences that kind of got me there, and how I've learned to really now know that I am as God has created me. And I'm not a pretense, I'm not a false idea, but I've learned to listen. Now, I'm short and not able to get behind this thing very well so you can see me. Someone has offered a stool, but I'm not going to use it. But what this has taught me is that each one of us, we are a perfect being. We live in a perfect world, and we are governed by a perfect God. Now, that is something that I'm going to say again and again, so we have that in us. But you, you say, well, can I really believe that? Do I believe that this is a perfect world, that this is a that I am a perfect being, and that we're governed by a perfect God? I think the first one that I am a perfect being is probably the most difficult one for us to overcome. Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about being perfect, and I'm going to try to tell you how perfect I am. It's all me. And we're going to talk, I hope, a little bit about listening and how we can listen to the Lord. And then we might talk a little bit about how we can find a little silence in our lives. You notice sitting at the table last night having supper, where's the silence? But it's all around us. And silence can lead to experiences of scuba diving, things like that, you know? But before I really get going, I want to bring Kathleen up here and introduce Kathleen with a K. This is my wife, Kathleen Hawks. And there's no question that I will be referring to Kathleen in the next couple of days. And also, Kathleen's going to help me a little bit on my second talk. We're going to share something with you. Now, yesterday when we left Ellsworth, we hadn't gone too far before we got lost. You know, we don't go south very often from Ellsworth. And even Portland's a long way. Well, Kathy says, well, why don't you stop and ask for directions? I says, men don't do that. She says, well, why don't you do it anyway? I said, okay. Well, we must have been somewhere near Bethel, I think, when we finally found a fella sitting on a doorstep. So I got out of the car and I said, which way? To Laconia. Well, he said, let me see. He says, well, that's pretty far, you know. He says, you just take this road up here, and you just keep going for about 10 miles, and you take a left-hand turn on the Route 25. And he thought a minute, and he said, no, no, that's not it. He says, no, no. He says, you just go ahead up here, and you go up just a couple of miles, and you turn right, and you follow the cars, and before you know it, you'll get to New Hampshire, and then you'll have to follow the signs. Well, no, I don't think that's it either. You know, mister, I don't think you can get there from here. Now, the lesson to that story, that's why men don't ask for directions. Thank you. That's Kathleen with a K. Listening is always important, and we were excited to share something with you tomorrow for listening. But there's a little nursery rhyme that goes, there was a wise old owl who lived in an oak. I've got to try to remember this. The Lord will bring it to me. There was a wise old owl who lived in an oak. The more he saw, the more he spoke. No, let's try it one more time. I tell you, you can't help but be a little nervous. There was a wise old owl who lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like that bird? So we've got to listen up. So what I want to talk about, what's really important to me, is God created me. And God created you, and God created us. And he was really happy with that. So I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit of reading here this morning, just so we can put this in perspective. This story you know pretty well, because it comes really early in the Bible. In fact, it begins, "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. God saw that light was good. And then later he said, 'Let water under the skies be gathered in one place.' And God saw that it was. And then God said, 'Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit.' And God saw that it was. And God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day from night.' And God saw that it was. And God said, 'Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds.' And God saw that it was. And when God saw all that he had made, he said that it was very good. So, we are as God created us, and that is, you are as God created you, and that is, we are as God created us, and that is. Now, let's just stay with that and try to remember that. And I'm not trying to teach you anything you don't already know. But we have a little dog at home, and his name is Nugget. Nugget's a cute little bugger. You know, he's only 11 pounds. He's a little white miniature poodle. 11 pounds, you can carry him around anywhere. And when Kathleen and I got Nugget, he's 11 years old, going on 11 years old. We had been without a dog for a couple of years, and Kathleen is very much attuned to having pets. When we first met, we had a jungle of pets. And I came home from work one day, and there was a cage set up in the corner. There was a new water dish, and there was some dog food. And she said, "Would you mind if we went to look?" "Look," she said, "look for a little dog." I said, "Well, we can look." But I also, of course, saw all the stuff in the corner. So Nugget became part of our family, and it's just been a wonderful part of our family for a long time. And Nugget looks like a dog, and he barks like a dog, and he acts like a dog, but he didn't know he's a dog, because he is just one of God's creatures. He is who he is. And I find sometimes I can't be who I want to be because I get all hung up with all these things in my life. And you got to get rid of them, and you have to turn them over to the Lord. And when you do that, it's a freeing, wonderful experience. And you find that you could be one of those great beings. We had a counseling meeting in Acadia, and I'm from Acadia, if you didn't know. We had a counseling meeting. It was probably at least 5 or 6 years ago. And Natalie Hackinson spoke at that counseling meeting. And that talk that she gave was an inspiration to me and can be an inspiration to everyone here. When Natalie shared with us that morning about how every one of us have a story in our heart to tell. And she went on to tell a few of her own. But that was so inspiring that we all have stories in us. And it doesn't matter what our age is. If just because we can be old and wise doesn't mean that someone younger doesn't have a lot of stories in them that bring them to where they are today. I want to emphasize in my own life today that I don't want to be the story that I am. I don't even know if I become the story that I am, but my life is full of them. And that has brought some meaning into my life. So Natalie just so well put the fact that we do have these in us, and we can bring them out. And it was kind of what got me up here today to be able to talk to you about who I am, what my relationship to Jesus is, and my relationship to my God, as opposed to talking to you about debits and credits and financial joby-woby stuff that none of us really understand. I'm an accountant by trade. We're pretty boring people most of the time. But once in a while, we got a spark in us that brings us into a new way of life. And that's what the Lord done to me. My time up yet? Oh, I'm still going. Judy, we should have sung a lot longer this morning. But what I wanted to share some stories this morning too, and what we get to do during a talk like this is that we really, I hope that we can get Kathleen and I can get to know you a little bit, because you're going to know me wicked good by the time 3 days go by, because I'm just going to sit up here and basically talk an awful lot about myself. But that's what we're supposed to do, because we're supposed to share with you what's happened in our lives. And if I get to preaching, which I hope not to, Kathleen's going to raise her hand and she's going to tell me not to preach or not to lecture. Now, the first, I guess, I'm going to try to give you three or four today, maybe a few tomorrow, but our lives are all brought up on all these little things that happen to us. And we all can remember them and different positions, different poses we've had in our lives. And our story, as I said before, we have to be careful to remember that our story is not necessarily, and it's not who we are. Because what gets in my way, and it's always got in my way, is this thing called ego. Do you have any ego? Ego is okay. It's really no good, but ego, and I've heard the term used, edging God out. Edging God out. And ego, it comes to me, and this isn't any new definition, but just something that I've heard, and I hope to bring it out a few times during my talks. But ego what is ego? Ego is what I have, what I do, what others think I am. Ooh, biggie. I am separate from everybody else. I am separate from whatever is really meaningful and whatever is, let's see, how's it? I am separate from what I think is important. And then I am separate from God. So ego, that's a nice definition. I'm going to just say it one more time because I have had too much ego in my life. And ego is I am what I have, I am what I do, I am what others think I am separate from everybody else, I am separate from what I want most to have in my life, and then I am separate from God. So I try to remove myself from ego, and just the walk with the Lord has helped me a lot. And my first part, the thing I want to talk about, is a part of my life when I was a cook. And Kathleen has told me I not to wear my cook hat today. I can wear the next hat I'm going to talk about, but I'm not to wear my cook hat, because what I'm not to do is to what's the word, Kathleen? I'm just trying. I've got to calm down, right? Show off, yeah, not to show off. That's where the ego comes in. That's what I, you know, who we are and what we do. Well, I was a baker at a nice summer place in Maine, up in the Belgrade Lake area. This is my youth. I grew up in a town called North Vassalboro, Maine. That's just north of East Vassalboro, Maine. And Vassalboro had a total population back then of about 2,500. It only has 4,000 today. It's a town kind of spread out halfway between Winslow and Augusta, Maine, along the Kennebec River and inland a little bit. Now, with a population of 2,500 people, or even today, 4,000 people, and 47 square miles of space, that leaves us with about 50 people per square mile. Now, I think of how many mosquitoes are within a square mile of us today. I don't think we could count them, could we? There weren't many people in this little town, so that's why I don't get out of Ellsworth too often, because we just don't travel that much up there. We like it up there. As a cook in this area, I wanted to learn perfection. You know how we all want to learn perfection all our life? We want to be just perfect people. So I wanted to learn how to make the most perfect cake, and I wanted to make the most perfect pies, and I wanted to be the most perfect baker I could ever be. And this was a summer resort where people came and they stayed in cabins, similar to the cabins you have here. It was on a nice lake, and they had an American plan where they were served three meals a day, and usually came for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and did fishing and boating and swimming. So it was a great place. And Mrs. Agati was the owner, her and her husband, and it was a real great learning experience for me, because I had decided at that point in my life that I was never going to make anything of myself. It seems like, you know, when you're at that age, you guys have had to have experiences of that, where you feel you just don't know if you're going to make it the next day. It seems like everything you do goes wrong, and people are telling you that you just, you know, you got to keep trying, but, you know, you're probably limited how far you're going to go. So I decided I was going to be a cook. So I really learned an awful lot at this camp, and I really learned how to cook, baked, and I was getting a little bit overconfident of the things that I could do, and separated myself even from the crew a little bit. After all, I was the head baker, and you know, they were just wait people and dishwashers. And then I needed a little bit of humility. Well, there was a day kind of like today. Not a great day. It was rainy out, and I was making something with strawberries. And the owner came in and didn't like what I was making. And it was a little kitchen area, and there was a gallon can of strawberries. And she picked those up and said, "You're just not getting it, David," and she slammed them down. Well, the strawberries slipped and fell on the floor. And Mrs. Agati, in her 60-odd years, rather large woman, fell with the strawberries. And there she is, Mrs. Agati, swimming in a gallon, swimming in this gallon of strawberries. And I just saw something in her face, and she just got up and in total embarrassment and just anger left. Well, that just was an experience that I just wondered if I was going to be able to keep my job from that one. It turned out fine. She came back and said, "I'm sorry what I said to you." But all this perfection that I was working at, really, when I looked at it, my cakes kind of fell a lot. I didn't make a very good pie. But all the time, I know somewhere out there, the Lord had a different level of perfection. His perfection wasn't what I thought was perfection. He was more accepting of, "You do what you can, and I'll determine what's perfect. Because I was created by God, and that is very good." Okay, we're going to have to keep you working on that one. So that's the story of cooking. Okay, well, I'm going to share another one with you now. And this is my construction job. You don't really need it here. You might want to borrow this afternoon if you have to run out there and fight hail balls, you know. You might see me trying to save somebody. But I had a summer job in construction. And it was with a company that was building a new telephone network in a community somewhere near where I live. And, I was a hot shot there. I learned how to dig pole holes. And a pole hole is a lot of work. You've got to dig and dig and dig with this, like a spoon kind of shovel. And you just kind of dig in this hole. The hole's got to be big enough to hold one of those poles. And if you had ledge in that hole, you got to use explosives. You know, and for someone about 20 years old, handling dynamite, that's pretty powerful stuff. That was fun. So the first day, I'm not a big, strong guy, and the first day we had to do any blasting, the only way you start blasting is you dig this hole in the ledge, and the only way you can do that is with a jackhammer. Well, this guy wasn't quite used to a jackhammer. I'm used to a pencil in classroom. So we got these jackhammers, and you have to dig this hole. I was tough back then, you know, hot shot David. I sprained both my wrists that day. And so I graduated from digging pole holes, and they let me drive a truck. Well, I never driven a truck before. And this is one of these trucks, you know, it's got the pretty heavy duty truck. It's got, I don't know how many gears. It's got 5 or 6 gears, and you got high, low, and hot, low, and you got these little buttons you push, and you enter a rotary with a truck like that, and you feel powerful. I mean, you know, you got all that power surrounding you. And I graduated from truck driving. This is all in the summer. I learned to climb poles. And you watch these guys climb telephone poles. It's amazing. That's a real skill. You put on these cleats on your boots. You have to have kind of a special boot. And if you're not used to that, it's very uses those leg muscles. And you climb up a pole. You kind of straddle up that pole. But it's a real sense of accomplishment to do that. But it's a little bit of a skill because you don't just walk up the pole da 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 and. And bucket trucks didn't exist back then. I think they do more of that work with bucket trucks today. But back then, it was climbing the poles with these spikes. And linesmen, ooh, they were the top notch. I mean, linesmen, they were tough guys. You know, I don't know what kind of hats they wore. Probably must have been different color. And this has probably got some marks in it because this is the true one. I mean, this is the real McCoy right here. And I started climbing poles, and that was a great experience. You get not on a day like today, but you get a day when the sun's out. You're climbing up on that pole, and you're just stringing some wires, and it's a lot of fun, but it's not altogether safe either. There are little dangers involved in that, and. One day, in my little old cockiness, I just shimmied up that pole, just biked those spikes in and went up that pole. And about time I got to the top, where you're supposed to straddle the strap along, you kind of lean back and you trust your weight and trust the Lord that he's going to keep you there. I didn't quite get to that point because I went down that pole. And I was inexperienced, so I was hugging that pole. Now, I don't know who was at the bottom of that pole to pick me up, but I can imagine who it was. But my arms were so badly scratched because you're getting all those little spikes coming down, and you got the creosote from the pole. I was a mess. Boy, learning humility. That was really an experience for me. I learned a lot of humility that day. That you have to be careful doing that kind of stuff. And you have to and what I wasn't paying attention to is my own humility and not being so cocky about it. Because I thought I was pretty perfect. But God had a different idea what perfection was, you see. So that's my pole days. I don't think Kathleen's ever heard my pole story. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're just about out of time. So we're probably going to pick up tomorrow with another story. But one of the things about perfection and about how God has created us is the fact that God don't make junk. God don't make junk. And when he made us who we are. And we should not get hung up with certain things. And we should accept the fact that we may not think we're perfect, but God thinks we are. He's pretty happy with us, just the way we are. And we don't define ourselves by what we have done. God has defined us because he created us. And when he created me, he made a perfect being, and I'm real glad of that.